Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 20th of July, recording at 5:34 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Generally strong stock markets in Asia. A little bit of profit taking in Europe today. One or two markets accepted. And a little bit of profit taking in U.S. in the U.S. right now. Elsewhere, Treasury bonds, well, bonds in general, still soft. And the dollar index is up today. It was down earlier on, and when it was down, we had good rebounds in the precious metals, and they've held, actually, despite the dollar moving to the upside again today, mainly against the Japanese yen. And that's pretty much it on the highlights. Well, except oil. Oil was up a dollar or so and is now down a dollar again, indicating that there's resistance in that $60 level. And that's probably a favorable development today, undoubtedly a favorable development today for stock markets, oil shares accepted. Okay. Now, what can we say here about this stock market cycle? Well, I've been saying liquidity still rules in here, and I don't see any technical evidence that this current rally that we have seen really since those mid-April lows is over. It's looking a little long in the tooth in some instances, but we continue to get upside breakouts, and there's nothing grossly overextended in here. And, you know, we see strong performers here today. I didn't actually post the charts, but, you know, things, the Australian market was very strong in here. The KLCI resuming its, that's Malaysia, resuming its march towards the high for the year. The Mexican Mexbol index, that's broken out in here today, as have a raft of others around the globe. And not only does liquidity rule in this instance, but these markets have a bit of momentum behind them in here. And, well, that'll carry on until it stops, to stay, make a very banal comment. But I think that the rallies are strong enough so that when they do get into trouble, and I'm not talking about a little pause and consolidation, but when they do get into trouble, whenever that occurs, be it later this month, next month, or months down the road, but whenever it happens, and my hunch is that it might be sooner rather than later, that there will be some very, very clear downward dynamics on the charts that shouldn't be difficult to read, and then we'll know that we've seen a peak of at least near-term significance, and there'll be high probability of a medium-term correction lasting several weeks to a few months. But I'm not going to try to guess where that will occur or exactly when that will occur. And as I say, the most important point right now is that most stock markets, pretty well all stock markets, continue to reaffirm uptrend, short-term uptrend potential, rather than show the sort of downward dynamics that will signal an end to this move. The most profound thing I can say on this is let the chart show us. Okay, meanwhile, among some favored positions, well, that Australian move is behind the resources, of course. I noticed that Rio Tinto, that's one of my favorites, position in my investment accounts, and I know a number of other subscribers have Rio or the BHP Billiton. And Rio had just a terrific performance in here today. Again, top testing rally. Remember all those people who were saying get out of resources not all that long ago? Well, fortunately we didn't in here. And I would hang on to those shares. They're key supply inelasticity trades. They'll be volatile from time to time, but that's one of the secular bull markets. What are the secular bull markets in here in an environment where there are a lot of basically bearish indications? The secular bull markets take all the industrial resources, led by energy. That's the big one. Then I think we can talk about the metals, and one that's really barely got off the ground yet and is very much the laggard, but it would always be the laggard, would be the precious metals, from the metals to the mining shares. So that's an important secular bull market. Another important secular bull market, I would say, would be the emerging markets, and here governance rules. And my favorites in terms of risk-reward ratios are the Asian markets. Now, if the markets, well, if when the markets eventually have a bit more confidence in the rule of law, and hopefully a renewed process of democratization rather than the reversal of what little democratization we'd seen in Russia occurs, then that market really will take off, because it offers the cheapest buys in resources around the globe. But again, we have the governance concern. Despite that, I think people are more drawn by the attraction of the resources than the risks. But again, it's, well, you get great valuations, but the risks are commensurate, and you do have a kleptocracy there. If not by Putin himself, then certainly in terms of the people who run these companies. And the government is certainly siphoning off plenty of money, so we can trace that back to the Putin regime. So siphoning off plenty of money from these companies. So what else can we mention in here in terms of secular bulls? Well, that's, I would also mention Japan. There's some items on Japan in here on the website today that are fairly interesting, including a very interesting letter talking about short positions in Japan. I've written about that, and it's of the non-supply inelasticity themes, it's certainly my favorite developed market over the very long term, but it is still in the base formation development stage. Okay, moving on to bonds. Bond yields are continuing to rise. Greenspan coming out today saying that the U.S. economy was doing reasonably well and interest rates would have to move higher. That's not bullish for bonds. We may well see a little bit more money coming out of bonds and into equities, but at some point, if those yields continue to rise, let alone take out the March highs, then that is going to weigh on equities, create a good strong headwind. But that's not the case at the moment. I think the main problem that equities face in the short term is that they've had a pretty good run recently, and as I said before, some of them look a little bit overextended. Now, in currencies, obviously higher U.S. interest rates, Greenspan's comments are favorable for the dollar. You know my view, I feel that we've seen at least a penultimate high in the dollar. There is the resistance in the dollar index around this 90 level, but I can't say that the move is over. Might it be? Yes, it might be, but I think the balance of evidence is slightly in favor of this being a penultimate high, or the high that we've seen earlier in the month being a penultimate high rather than the final high for the dollar. Meanwhile, the one that I mentioned and illustrated yesterday, the best play here is the Japanese yen. That's the one that's in form. In other words, the dollar running up against the yen, and we're at 113.48 in here today, up 79 ticks. The euro, Owen pointed out to me today that the euro is strong against, firm against a number of currencies, and it does continue to find support against the U.S. dollar around this 120 level. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the euro range a bit higher from here. Now, what I have been saying for some time is that When the dollar does peak, we are going to see, in my view, a very strong move in the precious metals. Now, obviously, some other people feel the same way because the gains that we saw when the dollar was a bit soft in here earlier today have not only been maintained, but they've been extended for the most part. Well, which have been the ones that have extended it? We've got platinum up nearly $4 in here today. That's the high of the day, 874.9 on the October contract. The silver price currently up 10 cents here at 708.5 on the September contract. Palladium surprisingly strong, or surprising for me. And at 192.50, up 440. Surprising because that's very much the lagging precious metal, but very much in a base formation development that is, I maintain, will support a very big advance one day. So there is still a risk here with these precious metals that if we had a surge in the US dollar, and right now it's ranging below that 90 level on the dollar index. But if we had another surge, then I don't doubt that we'd shake out some of these precious metal holders. But I'm going to ride out that risk, whether I have to sit with it through another 3 to 6 months of a dollar rally. I don't expect that, but markets are full of surprises. But I will do it. I would ride that out with my positions. And if we get some clear technical evidence that the dollar has peaked, I'd leverage up my stock, my precious metal positions, and I'd be able to do that almost certainly with in the money stops on my existing positions, or most of my existing positions. Meanwhile, I've still got some buy orders below the market in silver. Let's see, talk about this oil market a little bit. I've felt in recent weeks that this 60 area and above was a little bit rarefied here because we didn't see a backwardation indicating a nearby shortage. And that made me feel that most of the strength in oil, or much of the strength in oil, was due to speculation, that it would have trouble sustaining moves over 60. Well, here we are at 56. 40 down 106 on the day. And I maintain that oil is in a secular bull market, but I think it would take some sort of accident or surge in demand, neither of which I expect in the short term. Well, accident, I'm not going to predict an accident. Here you can't. Beyond what's well known and was partially discounted when the price was last over 60, the hurricane threat in the U.S. Gulf region. But so what I really would expect more than anything else would be to see oil mess around, mostly in the upper $50 region, but before eventually extending its overall uptrend. And if the US economy is reasonably firm and okay, a number of people will say a lot of that's done with smoke and mirrors and hedonics. Well, I don't disagree with any of that, but we certainly aren't seeing the kind of recession deflationary trough that a number of people have been forecasting for the US economy. And my hunch is that China is not as weak as many people have been forecasting. And Europe, well, Europe's been weak all along, but if the US is strong and if China isn't all that bad, then we could look for some sort of pickup in Europe as well. So for stock markets, though, that might not be such a great story, because if we get better growth than people expected. Well, the positive side of that is people would rightly expect corporate profits to be pretty good, in certainly at least for a number of shares. But the more important factor, I suspect, would be change in expectations regarding interest rates. And certainly, if investors are looking for higher interest rates, they'll become a bit worried. As you know, really, they're still looking for a cut in interest rates by the ECB, and they're still looking, consensus is still looking for a cut in interest rates in the UK, but obviously not in the US. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just say all the best.